Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, which you heard read earlier. Please be seated. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, we hear of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Solomon succeeded his father on the throne. And Solomon loved the Lord. He walked before him in faithfulness, righteousness, and was upright in heart. The Lord was well pleased with Solomon and appeared him in a dream by night and asked what I shall give you. What should a new king ask for? A long life, a long reign, a strong military, or riches? These things were not the desire of Solomon. Now, he recognized his lack of experience as a leader and his inability to manage the day-to-day problems of such a multitude of people. And of all the things he could have asked for, Solomon sought wisdom. He desired an understanding mind to discern between right and wrong that he might rule his people fairly. And in that way, it would be a benefit to his people and also to the Lord God. In return for Solomon's selfish request, God blesses him, not only with wisdom, but also with riches and honor. Honor and fame still with us to this very day. Scripture records that Solomon excelled all the kings on the earth in riches and in wisdom. But if you know the story of King Solomon, you know that his reign of fame and fortune didn't end as gloriously as it had begun. It would not be long before Solomon would trade in, or Solomon, the king of wisdom, would become the king of fools. As he gathered wealth and enlarged his kingdom, Solomon turned away from following the Lord. He started following his own human wisdom instead of following his God-given wisdom. He no longer treasured and kept God's statutes and commandments, turned away from walking in the ways of the Lord. You know, Solomon took many, many wives, many concubines, and he went on to worship their false gods. And they turned his heart toward the false gods and away from God, the true God, the Father, the God of his father, King David, the one and true only God. This is the same Solomon whose wisdom saved the child from death, put that very same child in the arms of its rightful mother. But now this Solomon is building temples to pagan gods where the people would sacrifice their children to these pagan gods. And because Solomon turned his back on the Lord and chased after these false gods, the Lord allowed Solomon's kingdom to be taken away. Now, Solomon's fall from grace should not surprise us, because he, along with you and me and all mankind, are descendants of Adam. And we all share in Adam's disobedience. We share in Adam's sin. God gave Adam and Eve every tree in the garden to eat from except for one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord warned them, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." But instead of listening to the wisdom of God, they disobeyed. They listened to the lies of the deceiver, believing that eating the forbidden fruit would make them wise, just like God. And that scene is repeated over and over through every generation in the lives of all of Adam's descendants, as you and I would prefer to trust our own human wisdom and disregard the commandments that God has given us. Instead of using God's name to pray, praise, and give thanks, many prefer to use his name to lie and to curse. Instead of gladly hearing and learning God's word, we grumble and we complain. Oh, the preacher went on too long, or the preacher said something I didn't like, something I didn't want to hear. And instead of honoring our parents and other authorities, we try to overrule authority and go off on our own way, the same way as Adam and Eve, same way as Solomon. You and I share in Adam's sin, so we also share in his condemnation and his judgment. St. Paul writes, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam and Eve were created in the perfect image of God, and he gave them everything they could possibly want in the garden. Yet they desired more, and they trusted in themselves rather than in God's promises. Solomon was given wisdom and riches and honor beyond all compare. Yet he, too, desired more and fell victim to the devil's temptations. And you and I are capable of no better. It's hard to imagine. It's only been just a little over a week since we celebrated the birth of Jesus in the city of David, Bethlehem. And then last week's gospel, we heard where the 40-day-old Jesus was presented at the temple. The last verse of last week's text is the first verse repeated of this week's text. And this is a pivotal verse. St. Luke summarizes Jesus' entire life from day 40 all the way up to 12 years in these few simple words. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Luke describes Mary and Joseph as very devout believers, devout and religious. Every year they went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Even though God's law only required that the men go to Jerusalem, Mary was pious and devout. She also attended. And now that Jesus had reached age 12, he too was taken along. Age 12 is the age when Jewish boys are obligated to learn and observe the statutes and commandments of the law. And you know the story. When the feast was over, Mary and Joseph and the whole crowd go on their way, traveling back toward Nazareth. And a day's journey into the travel, they discover Jesus is not with them. Obviously, in a panic, they hurry back to Jerusalem and hunt high and low for their little boy. Luke records, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Many believe that Jesus treated his, or Mary believed that Jesus had treated his parents badly. But his actions really show no disobedience. We have to remember that Jesus is at the same time fully God and fully man. And Scripture also teaches us that the God-man Jesus had no sin of his own. So in this instance, that would tell us that Jesus has not violated the fourth commandment, dishonoring his earthly father and mother. But on that day, as fully God, Jesus had to make a choice. He had to choose between his earthly parents and his heavenly father. So he first chose to submit himself to the divine will of his heavenly father. It was a divine necessity that he stay in the temple. It was something he had to do. He told his earthly parents, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Some translations say, "must be about my father's business." Jesus was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Even at the young age of 12, he knew that he was not just another ordinary young boy, not just an ordinary son of Mary. He knew that he is the Son of God. And early on, he knew that there was a greater purpose for him being on earth. He had a divine mission to fulfill. He had to be about his father's business. His father's business of saving all mankind. The future savior of the world sat in the temple among all the teachers and the rabbis, doing the business of the father, paying heed to the law of God, discussing the scriptures concerning the long foretold Messiah. And these things were not only just the business of the father, they were Jesus' business as well. Then, after attending to his father's business in the temple, and only then, he submitted to his earthly parents' authorities. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And here Luke repeats that introductory verse, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in the favor with God and man." Christ Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in the flesh of man, born to be about his heavenly Father's business of saving mankind from their sins. He came to live a life of perfect submission, doing the work of the Father, doing the will of the Father, keeping the moral, the civil, and the ceremonial laws perfectly on your behalf, because you cannot. And as we will hear in next Sunday's text, Jesus has a lifelong history of being submissive and obedient. Next week, we will hear how Jesus submits to a baptism of repentance, fully identifying with sinners such as you and me. Later on in the obedience to the Father, Jesus would submit himself to an agonizing death, being nailed to the cross, drinking the cup of the Father's wrath for all mankind, even though the Father would turn his back on him as he hung on the cross. But yet, approving of the Son's perfect obedience, approving of Jesus' handling of the Father's business, the Father would in turn raise him from the grave, indicating the promise of your resurrection from the grave. Through Jesus' active obedience, your disobedience is forgiven. St. Paul writes, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Through baptism, you are adopted as sons of God in Christ Jesus according to the purpose of his will. In Christ, you stand before God as righteous, as obedient sons of the Father, covered in the robe of Jesus' righteousness, his perfect righteousness and obedience. He came and rescued you from all of your stubborn sinfulness and your disobedience toward God. And to all who are repentant, he forgives you all of your sins, those sins of disregarding his commandments while trusting in your own human wisdom. As reborn sons of God, adopted through Christ in baptismal waters, you have now put off the old Adam and have put on Christ Jesus. And with God's help, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you now can follow Christ's example of humility before God and before men, beginning to keep his words and obey his commands. Instead of fear, loving, and trusting in any other thing, you begin in faith to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You also learn to trust in God's wisdom and him as your only hope for salvation. You can now resist the temptation to use God's holy name to curse and swear and lie and deceive. Instead, you could call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. As you struggle and fight against your natural inclination to despise preaching and God's word, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you now begin to hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. You resist the sinful urge to argue with parents and other authorities. Instead, you strive to listen to them, honor them, serving and obeying them. And you do all this not out of fear of punishment or threat or condemnation, but you do it joyfully out of the love you have for God, joyfully and gladly because of Christ's perfect obedience that has been credited to you. Because of your disobedience inherited from Adam, you were previously under God's condemnation and judgment. But since through Christ's active obedience for you and his obedience to being about the Father's business, you are counted righteous on his behalf. You are counted as righteous in obedience before the Father, for Christ has reconciled you back with the Father. You are at peace with him. So we give thanks to God for sending his Son to be about the Father's business. And in turn, we strive to follow his example of humble obedience before God and men. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.